Let's roll out today on Podcastmagoria. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Podcastmagoria's Halloween A to Z. My name's Autumn.
And I'm James.
And today we bring to you our R movie, standing for Road Games.
Yeah.
Road Games.
Oh, boy.
You know, we got another car movie on the list
for
this year's Halloween A to Z, which is kind of odd.
Good year for truck drivers. Bad year?
I mean, I guess it depends on how you kind of perceive this one, especially.
Yes. This movie came out in 1981. It runs at I think for this movie, an okay hour and 40 minutes. It's not too long. It's not too short. I think that, like, the pacing's fine for this for this length for this one. You know, it's almost too long.
I do think that it works for this one because it definitely needs to build a lot.
Yeah.
If that, like, you'll see what we mean, but I feel like the length is just fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Suspense.
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 I will say, though, halfway through this movie, me and James are like, is this a horror movie?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is
okay.
Is this more thriller?
So I would say that, you know, and kind of how we had said with the Joyride episode of us pushing the limitations of defining horror, this movie also is pushing that definition an awful lot. And and certainly we'll get into the nitty-gritty for that.
Yeah.
This movie also stars Stacy Keach, American actor, and Jamie Lee Curtis. Hey.
Who also, you know,
American actor. Scream Queen.
But
is that what makes this horror? Is just because Jamie Lee Curtis is in this?
Maybe. I don't know. We got to get into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this is a very Australian film.
Yes. It's an Australian movie that is starring two Americans.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about Mad Max Beyond the Thunderdome.
But see, that's the thing is, this movie has very much that Australian feel.
Yeah.
Like, of course, it's set in Australia. Everybody else besides our main two characters has an Australian accent. He's got a freaking dingo as his pet.
Yeah.
And then you just got these American guys.
Yeah. These two American schlubs.
But the vibe is so Australian.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very peculiar.
It's I don't know, like, you know, certain countries have their, like, I guess, different cameras that they use or whatever. And this just looks,
it looks filmed like
Australian.
Yeah. This is a 100% Australian looking, feeling, smelling, tasting film.
Yes.
So, yeah, crack open your Vegemite, folks. Let's dig in. The movie jumps right on in with a cold open of Quid, our main character, you know, driving down the road. He pulls up for the night and is preparing. Something that you get a lot with this movie, and I don't know how we're going to steer the ship or steer the truck in this case with this movie, but a lot of it is Quid by himself kind of talking to himself.
Yeah.
And he's almost like a representation of the audience where he is discussing basically what is going on in the movie almost the entire damn time.
Yeah. This portion, though, I like the way that it zooms out from him talking.
Yeah.
Because he sounds like he's just talking to some, like, he's got a companion driver, you know. And as it zooms out, it's just an empty seat.
Yeah.
And then his doggy pops up.
Yes.
And that's who he's been talking to this whole time.
His
little dingo Buzz.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's just kind of talking about the trip, going, I'm so glad we can finally rest. And then he gets a radio call for another shipment.
Yeah, yeah, he's got to pull a double, basically. And it's like, oh, great. Now, for all you DOT familiar people, so, yeah, like, a big thing is, so, by law, like, you have to stop, and so he's frustrated, and, you know, this is where you get a little bit of the old logbook finagling. So he's mad because of the fact that he thought he was going to get himself some rest, and gonna have to keep on moving.
He even says it's been like 3 days since he slept. Like, yeah, he hasn't slept since Wednesday.
Yeah. He does pull up to a motel and is just like, all right, I'm gonna squeeze in a little nappy poo, and then I'm gonna, you know, get back out on the road. Because he has taken so much time talking to himself and being mad about the situation, he misses out on the vacancy of a room. He sees the guy yeah, take the last room. And also he sees that a hitchhiker he had saw earlier in his drive is with this guy. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, well, good for her.
Yeah, he gets incredibly upset about
yeah,
seeing her with him. He's just kicking himself for not picking her up earlier. Mm-hmm. But it's in a way that he's like, oh, now she's going to have to sleep with him because he picked her up. And yeah, essentially, she wouldn't have to do that with me. I'm not a creep.
Yeah, like, it's always kinda, so weird. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little weird how he presents it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, okay, cool. He's yeah, a good guy.
Good for you for having to have this interior monologue about how you're such a fucking saint.
Right.
But also, you didn't pick her up, so tough shit.
Yeah, nice guy syndrome.
Yeah,
way.
Yeah. Well, we get to see what's going on with this hitchhiker as she sits nude on the edge of a bed playing with a guitar. She's not playing the guitar.
Yeah,
she's
no,
like trying to tune it, but she's also like scratching on the strings.
Yeah, she's very bad at yeah, guitar in general.
It's like she's never held a guitar before.
Right. But the shot, like, this whole scene is so beautiful.
Yeah. So her inability to play the guitar actually adds to the tension of the scene.
Yeah.
And yeah, I will definitely give credit where credit's due for this film. There are so many really cool shots, and mm-hmm, this being one of the best ones in the entire film.
Oh, yeah.
Where as she's sitting there fiddling around on the guitar, the bathroom door comes open, mm-hmm, and it's like this blinding light, and you just kind of see the silhouette of the killer.
Yeah, it is so, like, my jaw dropped when yeah, I saw the scene.
Yeah,
because it was just so pretty.
Such a good shot. And then the killer comes up from behind and kills her with one of the guitar strings.
Yep.
Neat.
Mm-hmm. It's too bad, though, that we didn't get, like, a madman-esque moment where we got to see, like, what it looked like. Because I think that this movie could have been a little more on the horror side if we yeah, had seen a little more gruesomeness, I guess.
Yeah, you know what? I'll pop the bubble on this one. This is the only kill you see in the entire film.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this is it. Like,
yeah,
so if
a lot of the other stuff is kind of up to the imagination on yeah, if it actually happens or what's going on.
Yeah, that was, I would think the factor of this is probably the most disappointing side of the entire film, is though very entertaining. Mm-hmm. Like, I kept going, oh man, we're gonna see the kills happen.
Yeah.
Like, basically, Quid will always be one step behind the killer.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to see, basically, the kill happen, and then Quid just happens to be around when a body's discovered or whatever.
Yeah.
Because it's now the next morning, and Quid's kind of waking up, and he lets his dingo out, and the dingo is like really fussing with the trash cans out mm-hmm, front of this motel, and Quid sees that there's a guy up in the motel room looking out the window, watching intently at the dingo pull at the trash.
Yeah.
And he keeps talking to himself going, well, you know, why does this guy give a shit about the trash and all that? And it's an oddly tense moment because, like, the garbage truck is coming slowly. And I was getting anxious because I was like, oh, don't let anything happen to the baby.
Uh-huh,
I don't
yeah,
want anything to happen to the dog.
Yeah, because he's so cute and sweet.
Yes. And so Quid calls Buzz back up onto the truck, and then off they go. And then that's when we finally get our title and our credits.
Yeah.
And this is also a really cool sequence.
Yeah. I'm always interested when films do that kind of, I guess they're trying to set the atmosphere. This is what you're getting into before we get to the opening credits.
Yeah.
And also, though, on this sequence, I see music produced by Brian May.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, what?
Right, yeah.
Not the same Brian May, guys. Yeah, not of Queen fame.
It would be funny if they're just like, we're going to get Brian May to do the music. And then some guy shows up and like, well, who are you? I'm Brian May. Like, oh, damn
oh,
it.
Oh, damn. You know, we forgot it was Australian Brian May.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I like how, I guess, theme song for this movie is very harmonica forward, and Quid is seen, he's playing the harmonica. He's a very musical guy, but he's playing the harmonica like as if the theme song is being played by him. And we see him picking up his next load from a meatpacking plant, a bunch of piggies getting hung up in a trailer.
Yeah, and whenever Quid's back on the road, we kind of see that this is just how he is. He is narrating everything in his life, including down to making up stories about the drivers in the other cars, the families, what have you. It's kind of humorous in a way.
Yeah. Quid needs a podcast.
He does. He needs to either have one to listen to, or he needs to just be recording in his truck.
That's right. Yeah. You know, Quid's POV podcast, where Quid tells it how he sees it. Yeah. So, amongst some of the other people on the road is there's this family they cease driving. There's this guy hauling what seems to be just a vehicle full of various types of balls. and then there's this guy that's completely clad in red leather riding a red motorcycle who he calls him Sneezy Rider because the guys have like an allergy attack while driving the motorcycle. And I was kind of gripping my seat going, oh fuck, this guy is gonna wreck, and then Quid's gonna get mixed up in it. I genuinely went into this movie not knowing a whole lot about
it. I didn't know anything about it besides Jamie Lee Curtis was in it.
And so it was just like, oh man, like how is this going to go off the rails? And it's setting up a lot of this, like, you're just like, how are all these people important?
Yeah, and we see that Quid has a habit of passing up hitchhikers.
Yeah.
Because we see another hitchhiker that he just zooms right on past. Mm-hmm. Another girl that he's probably going to kick himself for not picking up because she's going to have sex with whoever picked her up.
That's right. Yeah. That's such a weird flex. Quid gets behind this guy that's hauling a boat. And
he's going like 2 miles per hour.
Yes.
Everybody's been stuck behind this kind of person.
Yeah.
But except for you were never in a huge truck.
Right. Yeah.
So you got to imagine how frustrated Quid is.
Yes. While Quid is needing to pass by this vehicle with the boat, he also notices that for quite a while now, he's been tailed by a van.
Hmm.
And it's just like, well, that's, you know, if you've ever been on a long drive, you always kind of make these, I'm going to just call them road friends, even though you never actually talk to these people.
Yeah.
But you just kind of see the same, like, 6 or 7 cars, like, no matter where you're going, it's always the same group.
Yeah. Especially, like, if it's a big event that you're going to, like Dragon Con.
Yeah.
Whenever we travel, there really is, like, a few cars that we're stopping at all the same places. We're seeing each other.
Yeah. If we're coming down from Missouri, it's always like the other side of Memphis.
Yeah.
A good chunk of the people that you're driving alongside are the folks that are going to Atlanta.
Yeah.
And so it's just, it never fails.
He was kind of nervous about this road friend because he had seen them at the hotel.
Yes.
This was the person that had the hitchhiker that he didn't pick up.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like,
Yeah.
Is it actually that this person is stalking him, or is it just that he's a little delirious from not sleeping much?
Yeah, because he's already even going, well, it's so strange. This guy was so concerned about the trash at 5 a.m. Like, who cares about the trash? Like, why would he be staring out the window at the trash man? It's just like, maybe the guy was just waking up and, you know what?
Maybe he was just looking out the window.
Yeah, I often, when I first get up, if I'm in a hotel,
I just stare out the window.
I stare out the window. Yeah. I'm usually waiting for the coffee, or I'm waiting for you to get out of the bathroom.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch anything on TV. I don't want to sit back down because I might fall back to sleep.
Yeah, and I want to just look at the view.
Yes,
yeah,
so I'll just look outside. It could be a brick wall on the other side of that window.
Yeah.
I'm still staring at it.
Yeah. Maybe he wasn't staring at them at all, but something like just a little past them.
Yeah, could be. So... the guy might have had a lazy eye. He was looking at two things at once. Quid continues to draw and starts playing his harmonica alongside some classical music. Well, that's neat. You don't see that often. I've never heard harmonica played over classical music before, so that's a new experience for me. He changes the station to the news and starts to hear about a string of murders. Oh, I think we're getting plot, folks. It's in this moment that he almost hits what I thought was just a shit ton of paper towels strung across the road. But in fact, it's, what was it? You said it was it like fabric, or what'd you say that it actually was?
It's like the party streamers, like that you put up at parties. Like, it was pink. It does look like toilet paper.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's party streamers. He suddenly comes up upon this like roadblock that's just like all this pink party streamer. And he makes a sudden stop.
Yeah.
As if that would have crushed up his truck.
Yeah. This turns out to be a hitchhiker trap where what happened is there's this lady that has set up this trap to get the truck to stop. And then she just climbs aboard. Like, doesn't ask, doesn't anything. She just gets in.
Makes herself at home.
Yeah. Just starts up conversation with them. He's just like, what the fuck? And then he's like, all right, welcome aboard. Off we go. So much for not picking up hitchhikers.
Yeah, I mean, so despite him kicking himself for not picking up the last hitchhikers, he does have a rule that he doesn't do it.
Yeah.
So now Frida has made up for those other hitchhikers by just going ahead and making herself at home in that truck.
Then they start passing time playing road games. Hey, like the title, playing 20 questions and such. And they're just kind of like nonchalantly talking about the fact that there's murders happening. Like, she's kind of like, you know, oh, you know, like maniac killers, what are you gonna do? Ha ha. We also get what I'll call one of Quid's quotes.
Uh-huh.
We got a good old QQ in the house. And that is, he often will say, just because I drive a truck doesn't mean I'm a truck driver. So he sees himself. I'm really fascinated on like Quid as a person.
Yeah.
And how because he has this like glorified vision of himself where he's so good. He's so fantastic that he doesn't pick up hitchhikers because it's against regulation. But if he were, he wouldn't sleep with them because that's also bad because he's such a good boy. And he's not a lowly truck driver. He just happens to be a man that hauls shit from one side of Australia to the other.
Just happens to do that.
He'd be doing something else if it wasn't this.
I wonder what he tells people his occupation is then.
Import export.
Oh, very fancy.
Yes, very fancy. Sounds like a well-to-do.
They pass up the hitchhiker again. Mm-hmm. I don't know how she got ahead of them.
Yeah, okay. So that's something that I find often confusing in this movie is that you got the hitchhiker that keeps getting further than him inexplicably, even though he realistically doesn't really stop much at this point. Like, other than Frida, you know, derailing his drive, like, he doesn't really stop. And then also, just to kind of get ahead of us a little bit, the van continuously kind of getting ahead of him and him continue, like, even though I literally just said that sometimes when you're on the road, you see the same six people. He'll like be past the van, but then the van will be ahead of him. Like, he catches up the van way more than I feel that makes sense to the movie.
Maybe. Or maybe he's just extra vigilant about the van and...
Maybe there's a lot of green vans with a tarantula painted on the side. Maybe that was a standard issue van in Australia in 1981.
A government issued tarantula van?
Maybe.
Frida's like, why didn't you pick her up? You know there's a maniac on the loose, mm-hmm. right? And now she's nervous of... Quid.
Yeah.
Because she's like, that's suspicious.
Yeah.
That's weird. Maybe you're the maniac.
Yeah. This lady is kind of, I mean, obviously she's kind of nuts because of the fact of how she came into the picture to begin with.
Yeah.
But their conversation, her overall demeanor is very bizarre. And it only kicks up higher and higher because Quid ends up seeing the van parked on the side of the road. And so he stops to see what the van is up to. And he's watching through his binoculars and sees the van driver get out. And he's got a cooler and he's got a shovel and he starts to dig a hole. And Quid's just like, well, now why would a man be out in the middle of nowhere digging a hole, you know, with a van nonetheless? And starts to kind of allude to the fact that I think this guy might be the killer.
Mm-hmm.
And Frida's just like freaking the fuck out about this. And the van man sees Quid watching and drives off.
Yeah.
And then Frida's just like, well, I gotta go now because this is getting too real for me. And he's like, what are you doing? And she just runs off into the into the wild.
Yeah. The Australian wilderness, yeah. mind you, where I feel like she'd be safer with a killer.
Yes, yes, because like 98% of Australian wildlife is incredibly deadly.
Yes.
And the landscape itself is very deadly because
yes.
she almost falls off a fucking cliff. And when he's trying to save her from falling, she kind of looks like, maybe I'll take the chances with the 20-foot drop into the rocky water.
Frida, in this moment, is just like... Look, I don't want to be seen with you because I think that you might be the person that they're talking about on the radio.
Yeah.
And I've already got enough problems with all this meat shortage stuff and
yeah.
my husband having a hard time. And
yeah.
we've been threatened and you just don't understand what's going on. Kind of the third plot point of the story of Road Games is about this. Like, there's a big meat shortage.
Yeah.
And Quid just happens to be hauling meat.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure why this was shoehorned in, unless it was something that was actually happening in Australia at the time.
That's kind of how that works.
And maybe that is some, like, history I need to look into.
Yeah.
Because the whole time I'm like, why are we... I thought that it would have a little bit more to do with it all besides Quid hauling meat.
For real. It's kind of like how last year when we were watching the movie Fangs, just suddenly shoehorned in Egyptian politics and just
yeah.
like... Where did this come from? Like, why are we stopping the movie to talk about all this stuff?
Yeah.
And then that's luckily the movie doesn't necessarily stop to explain why there's a meat shortage.
Yeah, no, they just kind of occasionally slip
yeah.
it in that, hey, by the way, there's this meat shortage going on.
Which doesn't really matter.
So, yeah, as the audience, if you don't know the like any kind of history or anything, or if this even was going on,
yeah.
you're just a little confused.
It's just like, why do we need this?
Yeah, why are we talking about this?
Yeah, Quid ends up arriving at a roadhouse. He is now separated from Frida. He's trying to get a hold of the cops to alert them to this mysterious van and that it might be a lead for the killer. He's having an incredibly hard time trying to have a clear conversation on this phone. It's such an intense, frustrating scene.
Yeah. That's kind of why I like this movie, because there's a lot of like intense, thrilling scenes, but they're also a little humorous.
Yeah.
Because this is so humorous
mm-hmm.
because he's already got a bad connection on the phone.
Yeah.
But then everybody, of course, in the roadhouse is being rowdy and loud. Yes. And somebody turns on a jukebox mm-hmm. as he's trying to talk on the phone. Like, it's just, it's one of those scenes.
Yeah, it feels like an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yes.
And he's getting more and more mad as he's just, like, shouting about, you know, listen, there's a man, there's a van, like I'm trying to tell, like, listen to me. And he's trying to spell his name and explain it, like, who he is.
Yeah.
And it's just not working. And everybody's staring at him. Like, he's the asshole.
Right.
And yeah, there's the jukebox playing. There's you know, of course, the guy's playing pool. There's people playing pinball.
Yep.
And he finally gets pissed off enough that he's just like, fuck it, whatever, fine, fuck you. And and then that's when the barkeep at the roadhouse is just like, is that your dingo? And it turns out that this county that he's in, dingoes are outlawed. Mm. And there's basically a kill on sight order. And it'd be an awful shame if something were to happen to Quid's dingo.
Especially with this meat shortage going on.
Yeah. Right?
I thought that's where it was going to go.
I thought so too. So Quid runs outside and checks on Buzz. And Buzz has been injured.
Yeah.
I don't really know what happened with that.
Yeah, I don't know if somebody came in and punched him.
Yeah, I don't know.
What happened?
Quid also notices that parked across the way is that damn van, which as soon as he looks at the van's just like, oop, I gotta go. And so he starts to chase after the van.
Eventually, though, he comes up across one of our road friends that we made.
Yes.
But our least liked road friend, the 2-mile-per-hour boatman.
Yeah, who I guess was pissed off from being passed by him earlier in the movie. So he's now trying like hell to make sure Quid can't pass him. And this escalates to just a comical level.
Yes.
Because the guy is just all over the road and Quid's like, fine, fuck it. He off-roads the goddamn truck.
Yeah.
And the boatman is sideswiping him. Like, it's as if the boatman doesn't even care about the boat.
Yeah.
It's principle.
Yeah, why was he going so slow if he didn't care about the boat at all? Because the boat's getting destroyed as he's sideswiping him. I don't know how to describe it, but it just explodes, yeah. Essentially.
Yeah, eventually the boat is destroyed because the guy is an asshole.
But that's another one of those scenes of, ooh, maybe this should be intense, but it's actually kind of humorous.
Yeah, yeah. Amongst all this, also, the boat's anchor had been dropped and wrap up inside Quid's axle, which I thought was going to like completely derail him. I thought that he was like, oh shit, it's going to break the axle.
Yeah.
He's going to have to pull over and then he's going to be stuck. And then maybe
and then
he's going to
the
get
van.
Yeah,
is
he's
going to come back. And
yes.
No.
Oh no. But nothing comes of this. Instead, as he's driving, he sees the hitchhiker girl again. And he's like, all right, fuck it.
Third time's a charm.
That's
might
right.
as well.
He picks her up. Hey, it's Jamie Lee Curtis, who at this point in the movie is going by the nickname of Hitch. That he gives her the nickname Hitch. She says, don't call me Hitch. And he's just like, all right, Hitch.
Yeah. And of course, he does his usual spiel of, I don't usually do this.
Yes.
I'm not a truck driver.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, have you seen a green van?
Yes. And then they both start playing Columbo, where they're both talking about, well, what would be the drive for this person to be going across the country killing women? And Quid's trying to figure it out, and Hitch is just like, well, maybe he hates women, or maybe it's a sex thing. And Quid's just like, oh, God, why would you think that?
Okay, here's the big question.
Uh-huh.
Is Quid asexual?
Maybe.
Is he an asexual man? Because he is just so, like, upset about the thought of people having sex at all.
He's very uptight. And especially for 1981, I feel like...
Yeah, most guys during this time were like,
there's no like and like there's no signs of him being that way, except for
he does kind of have a little crushy washy kind of on Hitch.
Yeah, he has a crush. I don't know how, like, if it's, I don't know how to describe that, his crush on her.
Yeah,
like, but also I mean, he is obviously interested in some way or another, because she does find amongst all of his magazines and stuff some girly mags. So, I mean, like, maybe, the road gets lonely.
But, I mean, maybe he got those to, like, be like, okay, maybe if I look at this, okay, something will happen.
That's right, yeah.
And
yeah,
nothing happens, and maybe, he's just like, I'm broken.
Yeah, maybe they were gifted to him.
Maybe.
You know, some, because guys give other guys, you know, yeah, porno mags all yeah, the time.
Nudie mags?
Yeah, yeah, it's always happening.
Especially in the 80s.
Yeah, definitely in the 80s. Yeah, you gotta see the gazungas on this one.
Yeah, because, you know, it wasn't readily available everywhere.
Yeah, you didn't
have
the internet.
So you had to trade.
Yeah, exactly. It's like cards.
Yeah, trading porno mags.
Yeah, yeah, that's how it worked.
They're eventually stopped by the police, and she kind of hides in the truck, and he's questioned.
Yes.
The police, it's kind of obvious the police think that he might be this maniac that's riding around.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, they really just start questioning the shit out of Quid. And he's like, no, listen, like, there was this van and this guy has been up to, like, he's up to something. And they're like, well, but what about the girl that you picked up and stayed the night at the hotel with? And he's like, whoa, I didn't, he's like, I didn't get the room, man. And he's just like, any old person could sign a name in a guest book.
Yeah, apparently his name was used, so that's a little odd.
How did Van Man know his name?
That's what I got stuck on that for a minute.
Yeah.
Because I was like, how in the world?
Yeah, who's Van Man?
Right.
Like, in all this.
Right.
Yeah, after the cops give him a hard time and Quid does some more driving, it's finally time to pull off and get some rest. And this is when they're kind of camped together, and Hitch finally is just like, listen, my name's not Hitch, it's Pamela. So from this point on, I will be referred to as Pamela. Remember that. I have to remember that. I'm going to call her Pamela instead of Hitch the rest of the time. This won't be confusing for me at all.
Yes, and Pamela is essentially doing this big trip because she needs to find some excitement in her life. She didn't like her previous life.
Yeah.
Which she's very vague about.
Yeah. Yeah. It is more or less that she is the daughter of a diplomat, but she doesn't go into a whole lot of detail about it. And it's just like, well, I've got to pop off for a squat.
Exactly how it happens. Right. And that's exactly what Jamie Lee Curtis says.
Yep.
And you have to trust us.
Yeah.
Unless you see the movie.
Yeah, yeah. She snorts, she spits a loogie, and then she hauls off into the dark, where she comes across the van. She sees the Van Man as, this is another really cool shot in the movie, where lightning strikes, and she sees the Van Man sitting outside of his van playing the guitar.
Ooh, yeah.
Mysterious.
Yeah. Another scene where I was just like, oh.
Yeah.
That was so cool.
Mm-hmm.
The next morning. So, Van Man stayed on his side of the property, I guess.
Yeah.
Pamela and Quid, they're kind of talking. You know, they've become kind of good friends, I feel like. They have a really good dynamic. She's just like, Quid, why in the world do you talk in poems? Because he does have, like, a really odd way of talking.
Yes.
Compared to everybody else. And he's just like, I'm old.
That's right. That's the reason. Yeah, it's so, like, again, Quid's character is very peculiar.
He is. I want to know what he was before he was in Import-Export.
That's right. Yeah, this is also your first hint at, is there something between these two? Because they get really close.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just, next scene, Pamela's calling her family, just letting them know that she's still alive.
She ain't coming back, though.
Mm-mm. No, she's living a life on the road. After she's done being on the phone, she's walking around, because, like, they're at, like, a truck stop, more or less.
Yeah, a little rest area.
And we see in the background all of our road friends. And she spots the van. And Quid gets alerted to this. And so it's just like, okay, they quickly come up with the plan that she's going to check the van while he goes to the men's room to trap the van man in there. And so Quid picks up this like part of a like a fan assembly or what have you and gets his dingo. Mm-hmm. And just he goes into the bathroom. He's like, listen here, motherfucker. Like, you're a real tough guy, huh? Well, I'll show you how tough you are. When you get out of that stall, I'm going to tear you apart, you piece of shit. And he's just like, he's shit-talking this guy while he's just trying to have a deuce. And Pamela is actually crawling inside the van to look around. Mm-hmm. And she discovers not only the cooler that Quid had seen earlier, but also Van Man's inside the van still.
Oh, crap.
Indeed, crap, because the person having the crap was Sneezy Rider, the motorcycle man. Well, this is very embarrassing for Quid.
So awkward.
Yeah.
I mean, who hasn't that happened to, though? You know, yeah. I'm always banging around in bathrooms going, hey, motherfucker, watch out.
And I'm always going, I'm trying to poop.
Oh, yeah, I forgot it is only in our house that I do that. Yeah.
Quid runs outside once he realizes he's been hassling the wrong guy and spots that the van is gone, as well as Pamela. Oh, no. So he does the craziest fucking thing that he could have ever decided to do, which is he hops on to Sneezy Rider's motorcycle and immediately wrecks it, because I'm assuming he's never been on a motorcycle before.
I was going to say, had he ever ridden one before? Does he even know?
Yeah, it's so crazy.
Truck driving does not translate into motorcycle riding.
No, they're very different. And Quid should have known that, but he learned the hard way, as I'm assuming he's learned a lot of things.
Yes.
He then attacks basically everybody around him.
Yeah, because everybody's like, why are you still in the motorcycle?
Yeah, and his truck was being worked on. And so he scares away the mechanics and starts to get the cab back to the way that's supposed to be. And so he has to lower it back. It's a whole thing. But he's like screaming like a maniac. He hops into the truck. Everybody's just like, what are you doing?
It's a lot of chaos.
He drives off and knocks over a freaking water tower.
As I said, a lot of chaos.
Yes.
It is so much during this scene. Yet again, though. So funny.
Yes.
I don't know. This is more of a hilarious
comedy. Yeah. This is, I feel like I'm watching It's a Mad, 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 Mad World.
It's a comedy thriller.
Yes.
Which is not a thing.
No. Not often.
not on purpose,
not
at least.
Not on purpose.
I mean, don't think it was on purpose in this, at least. I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think it's accidentally funny.
But yeah, he's just a funny guy.
It's super funny. he gets back on the road. The chase is on. He's catching up with the van. And then he just sees that Pamela's having a conversation with Van Man.
And he's just like, oh, well, she don't look too kidnaped to me. Harumph, they're probably going to go and do it.
Yeah, and he's just like, well, fine. If she gets murdered, I guess it's not my problem.
Yeah, huh. That freaking hitch.
Yeah.
I thought she was my friend. Oof. Like, it's literally a lot of dialogue of him arguing with himself.
Yeah.
About.
As we've stated before, like, a good chunk of this movie is mostly just Quid talking to himself. Later on, he's listening to the radio and hears the news story about how Pamela has been missing and the family's worried about her. And he also hears that he might be suspect number one for the whole crazy murderer traveling across Australia.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
And this is where it does kind of lean a little bit more into horror. I think this last half of the film definitely has more of that horror element to it, because as the audience member, you kind of feel like, wait a second, is Quid possibly is this actually happening? Is it in his head? Because he's starting to kind of dissociate.
Yes.
And he argues with himself, trying to talk himself out of, did I do these crimes?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, because I mean, all signs are kind of pointing to maybe he is. He's starting to try to like get his story straight, where he's already like, almost as if he's talking to the cops. but to himself, where he's just like, well, I was just, you know, you could ask anybody, you could ask dispatch as far as where I've been in the last, you know, 48 hours. And the motel worker will definitely know that I wasn't actually staying in the room because, I mean, they had never seen me. And, you know, it's just all this stuff.
Yeah. And it's a lot of rambling. Like, he's obviously snapping.
Yes. As he's going along, he happens across the fucking van parked off the side of the road at a rest stop. And so he hops out with his dingo and he takes a peek inside the van and he doesn't see anybody, but he sees that cooler in the passenger seat. Ah, fucking cooler. Mm-hmm. But he also hears a little bit of moaning. But maybe it's somebody being murdered. I don't know.
And Buzz is like whining and crying and stuff and runs away. So maybe it is somebody getting killed. So Quid better go investigate.
Yep. He investigates and he hears somebody moan, oh, Harry.
Oh, and you know, old Quid, he's like, oh, Harry, huh? No, yeah. Old Hitch and Harry.
That's right.
I knew it. Yeah. I knew that they would go off and do it.
Yeah, that's right. Ugh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The only thing getting murdered is that booty.
As he walks off, we get to see that that was not, in fact, Hitch and Harry. That was Harry and some rando that just got married.
That's right. Whoops.
They're having their honeymoon. And yeah. Quid took it the entirely wrong way because he didn't see. But I will admit, she must have been moaning really loud for it to have been that clear.
Yes.
From outside of a parked vehicle.
Yeah. Yeah. In his frustration, Quid goes back to the van, busts out the passenger side window, and finally gets to see what's inside that damn cooler. It's just lunch, folks.
Yeah, and this person has to be a psychopath because he's got a freaking piece of chocolate cake unwrapped, not on a plate, nothing, just laying on the bottom of the cooler.
Yes, yes.
And I nearly lost my lunch seeing that.
Because it's a sandwich, a banana, an apple, and a slice of chocolate cake.
Wait, I don't even think the sandwich was wrapped.
No,
it
wasn't.
I'm thinking about it.
No, it was perfectly just set inside there. Which I have to say, like, for this stuff to not be sloshed around inside the cooler, this is a great driver.
Right. Okay, so yeah, this is the scene in a horror movie that made my stomach turn.
That's right, yeah, yeah. Forget anything you may have seen in Saw or the Terrifier movies. This is the thing that's going to make you throw up.
Yes. Quid goes back to his truck, not noticing that Buzz is in the back kind of whining because, well, something's going on.
Yeah,
He's just like, Buzz, come on, let's go.
Yeah.
And as he drives off, we get to see that his back door is open.
Yeah, yeah, someone's been in the trailer. Oh, dear.
Messing with the meat?
Maybe. As Quid's driving, he gets spooked by a kangaroo, which is a weird shot.
Yeah, because he's yet again arguing with himself, telling himself, man, I gotta start smoking dope so I can handle these hallucinations. As he has a hallucination of a...
What's happening?
I thought that it was a fucked up rabbit face at first.
Yeah.
But then when he's kind of getting out of his hallucination because a rug attacked him from the back, I don't know what's going on here, folks, but he sees that it's a kangaroo in the road.
Yeah.
So maybe it was a fucked up kangaroo face.
Or is a fucked up kinkajou, I think is like the other little weird marsupial.
Yeah,
like,
I don't...
I think that's what I saw.
It's a fucked up animal face.
Yeah, yeah, with big googly eyes.
Yeah, all bloody and stuff.
Yeah, it's really bizarre.
And it's probably like the 80s equivalent of a jump scare.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's your horror.
Yeah. As I said, the second half does have more horror elements in it than the beginning.
Huge
for sure.
Slow burner. He notices that the temperature gauge is going up for his load. He also kind of hears a banging sound. So he hops out of the truck and goes into the back of the trailer to see, to make sure that the meat is not getting thawed. As he's poking around, he just starts kind of getting spooked by everything. And he's checking because there's some pigs that are hanging towards the back of the trailer that they're very clearly thawed.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, that's strange. And then he goes, wait a minute. And he starts counting all of the hanging meat, and he's just like, he gets freaked out. He gets, you know, he closes the trailer. He goes back into the truck. He's just like, well, maybe I miscounted, or maybe they accidentally gave me two more pieces than they should have.
Yeah, and the weight's off because of the hot air that went in there.
Yeah.
It's just hot air. That's all it is, just hot air. And he goes into more of like a dissociative ramble.
Yeah.
Trying to do the math of how many pigs there were, and maybe it was a miscount. And he's showing obvious signs of road hypnosis.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, he starts to see the van in front of him too, and like sees Pamela's eyes and her like thrashing around sexily.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very like, it's such a cool sequence of scenes, and it's I think it's a very real portrayal of road hypnosis.
Oh yeah, this is absolutely how I am.
Because yeah, just his demeanor, the way that he's talking,
Yeah, like if after I've been driving for like 10 hours, this is how I usually am. I couldn't imagine doing it for however long he's been driving.
Yeah, because I don't think that he's really slept since he did the little nap with Pamela.
Yeah, yeah. He, while following the van, or is he, he has to stop at a way station, and his old buddy Lester is just like, hey, you know, welcome in. Let me get you weighed. And Quid's like, oh, okay. Yeah, no problem. Quid spots the van parked off to the side outside of the way station. Mm-hmm. And then cops are also there. And it's just like, oh, great. Like, cops are going to come up on that van and everything's going to get solved. But instead, the van's just kind of broke down and the cops push the van up to some gas pumps. Oh, so they're just being helpful. Great.
Yeah, Lester lets Quid know, hey, you're a little bit off.
Yeah.
And he's just like, oh, well, you know, it happens. Lucky that Lester is his friend, because like they're able to kind of pal around. And Lester's just like, oh, no big deal. Hey, that dog sniffing your car a lot. Well, you got marijuana in there, too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so funny how, as a matter of fact, that, you know, Maybe Quid is up to no good, but and even more so, like as Lester's poking around, he discovers that there's all this wire and stuff wrapped up underneath the truck. Ah, it's the bits of the anchor from the boat. And he goes, oh, well, that's probably the reason why your weight is off, is you got all this extra cargo stuffed up underneath. He's like, let me get some cutters and we'll get that removed. And Quid's like, no, I've got to go, because he wants to continue to follow the van. It's so funny because of the fact that Lester is still like screaming at him about all this shit. Oh, I know, it's no problem. I can, as Quid's already pulling away.
Yeah.
He's still screaming about how, oh, you don't want to hurt your axle.
And Quid left in a hurry and the police follow suit.
Yes. Yeah. We get what I would like to call the world's slowest high speed chase.
Yes.
Because Quid is following the van. The van is going like, I don't know, maybe 10 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And they're going down all these alleys, and the alleys are getting smaller and smaller and smaller.
Yeah, Quid starts to destroy stuff as he's driving because it's just getting so small.
Yeah, the cops are following really close behind him, and eventually Quid gets stuck, and the cops ram the back of his truck.
Also getting stuck.
Yes, and then the van stops like probably 20 feet ahead of Quid, and Van Man comes out with a shovel.
I thought it was a rifle. I don't know why it was a shovel.
Well, it looks
when he
like
gets out.
Yeah, it looks like the handle of the shovel looks like a rifle, but it was just a shovel.
Yeah. I will say how this plays out. How in the world are we going to explain?
Well, okay, just like, so moments ago I had mentioned the movie It's a Mad, 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 Mad World.
Yeah.
That's literally what happens. Because
the police are trying to get unstuck.
Yeah. All tension, all anything that would have made this a thriller is absolutely ruined by this comical sequence of basically all this shit happens at once, where Quid is trying to break the truck loose. The cops are trying to break the cop car loose. One of the cops gets stuck underneath Quid's truck. And Van Man's trying to get away, but the van won't start. All of this comes to a head by the cop car comes loose, crashes through the front of a building. The truck comes loose from the trailer, launches through the air, lands on top of the van. Van Man gets out, and Quid has a tussle with him.
Yes.
And as he's starting to essentially kill the Van Man, that's when not only did the cops catch Quid in the middle of this, but all of the people
that
you've seen throughout the movie that Quid has pissed off in one way or another, even fucking boat guys there.
Yes.
And they're all screaming about how Quid is a maniac.
Yes.
And Quid's like, no, it's not me, as Boatman starts to disappear into the crowd.
You did that so wonderfully because, wow, it's a long scene, guys,
yes.
And is just crazy to see. If you watch this movie for anything, at least watch it for the last 15 minutes.
For real.
Quid's just like, guys, check the van. I promise, check the van.
Yeah.
And turns out Pamela was, you know, all tied up in the back of the van. She's like, that guy's the crazy person, not Quid.
Yeah.
And they get the guy and... it all turns out fine.
Yeah. They Pamela and Quid are then seen walking along the side of the road. Oh, I also need to mention the fact that Buzz, Quid's dingo, starts barking at the killer.
Yes.
Which dingoes can't bark. And so Quid is then also mad because he was sold a fake dingo.
Yes.
So they're seen walking on the side of the road together. You know, it's Quid, it's Pamela, it's the dingo, wink. But also Quid now has a mandolin. He's such a musical guy.
Well, he had the mandolin earlier in the film.
I don't remember seeing the mandolin.
Yeah, it was way at the beginning because I, too, was like, oh, my gosh, when he got his harmonica out.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my gosh, he plays a lot of instruments.
He's a one-man band. I bet you he's got a little, he's got like a bass drum he puts on his back. He puts the cymbals between his knees.
See, that's why he says he's not a truck driver, because he's actually a musician.
That's right. Yeah, he's a traveling one-man band. they walk down the road. The end. Or is it?
No, because he says, you know, it's really funny. I thought that extra body in the truck was your body. Ha ha, isn't that funny? And Pamela's just like looking at the ground like, what the fuck? Meanwhile, we get to see the meat plant again.
Yes, this incredibly long sequence of the camera going through the meat packing plant. And there's a lady in the back of the trailer scrubbing down. And then she comes across a string. She pulls it, and a head falls into her cleaning bucket.
Yeah. Okay. The end.
Sure.
But, first of all, they didn't see that string and pull it yet. Second of all, was that actually from the van killer, or did Quid road psychosis, did it actually happen? Like, because he was so unreliable.
Yeah. I think my main problem is, how did nobody notice a head stowed up above?
That's what I was saying. How did nobody notice this till now?
Because, like,
I'm assuming the police might have looked in the back of the truck during the investigation.
When they were unloading the freaking pigs. Because all it is, like...
It's the empty truck.
It's an empty truck. If you've ever been inside the back of a trailer...
You know there's nowhere to, like, really store anything.
No.
So it wasn't like it was, like, hidden away.
It's so stupid. It's kind
of... It was just a last-minute shock to make audiences go...
Gasp.
At the end.
Yeah, but it's stupid.
Yeah. And to push it more into that horror genre, I think.
But I think it was... I wish we didn't have that. I wish it would just stop with them palling around on the side of the road.
I kind of wish that it had kind of just ended on Pamela, like, acting weird after he said that. Wouldn't that have been weird and funny if it was your body?
Yeah.
To make it an ambiguous of, oh, is Pamela actually there with him?
Oh, okay. You're going to go with that direction.
Yeah.
All right, that she's just a hallucination
I really do want to put this more into the he hallucinated a lot of.
Okay.
I think a lot of it did happen, but I think there was some stuff that he was definitely like, woo, like going cuckoo.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. All right, so as far as verdict goes, I think it's like a fantastic movie.
Yeah.
It's really fun.
It's definitely a slow burner.
Yeah.
But I think it's definitely worth a check out. As I said, I want to do some history research. Maybe, like, this was a big propaganda thing.
Could be. Yeah, like, I would say about midway through the movie, I had already made the decision that I liked this film.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm having a really good time. Yeah, it's a slow burner. Maybe it's not... it's very hard to define it as horror.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's okay.
Towards the end, I think.
Yeah.
We get a little more scared.
Yeah. It's a thriller suspense. It's because if I'm going to consider this horror, then every episode of every, you know, cop procedural is a horror movie.
right.
You know, it's like, oh, Murder, She Wrote is more horror than this. But
Monk
is horror. Yeah. Anyway, definitely worth a check out if you're kind of burnt out on big monsters or even slashers. It's kind of a different approach towards what is now a tire trope, but was still truck driver stuff was still a big deal at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Smokey and Bandit movies were still happening. And so perfect movie to throw into that mix. It is streaming pretty much everywhere. You can catch it on Peacock. You can catch mm-hmm. it on Tubi.
I've seen this, pretty much everywhere. Just never really thought to check it out.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah. Glad we finally did.
That brings us to the end of this episode of Podcast Magoria's Halloween A2Z. Our next episode is our S episode. S for Skidamarink. Oh, okay.
All right. Finally getting that one out of the way.
All right. Oh, well, I guess we'll see how we feel about that one next time.
Yep. It's a 50-50 on that one, I feel.
Yep. Until next time, if you find yourself on a long and lonesome road and you feel like you're losing your damn mind, throw caution to the wind, pick up a road friend, and see if you can figure out a string of murders on the road. And while you're hanging out with your newfound friend and your old dingo buddy, be sure you do one important thing, and that is you must stay spooky.
Blah, blah, blah.
Bye. You've been listening to Podcast Magoria, hosted by Autumn Campbell and James Davis, theme by James Davis. Like what you heard, be sure to follow us wherever you get podcasts. Be sure to check out our social media and TikTok for additional content and spooky previews for future projects. And as always, stay spooky. Hee 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 hee.